Hello, Growcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We have a lovely episode ahead with Noah Miller from Black Dog LEDs. We're going to be talking about LEDs and lighting spectrums and CMH and HPS and all sorts of fun stuff. Lots of great info from a very knowledgeable man coming your way. Before we get started, today's show is brought to you by Soham Living Soils. Just go to sohumsoils.com, use promo code GROWCAST10, that's GROWCAST10, for 10% off just for listening to this show. And if you join our membership program at mygrowpass.com, you get 20% off site-wide from Soham Soils. Sohumsoils.com, everybody. Soham Soils was created to take the thinking out of growing. With all the liquid nutrient fertilizer on the market, consumers can be afraid to try and be a chemist when they're mixing their nutrients. Well, no need for that with Soham Living Soils. Just add plain water. It's an organic super soil. It's got everything you need. That's it. They've got a great chart that shows you the proper size container to ensure you get enough food for your plant for a full flower cycle with just adding water. The soil is designed with beneficial bacteria, fungi, and micronutrients perfectly balanced to give you everything you need. Just set it and forget it. It's that easy. Sohumsoils.com, SOHUMsoils.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off. Join mygrowpass.com for 20% off. Site-wide for life. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Got a great show ahead. Good luck in your grows all week and beyond. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, could you please tell a friend about the show? Share Growcast. We always appreciate that. Growing grassroots style, always helpful. And make sure that you're subscribed. Give us a good rating and review. We love that about you guys. Excited to speak with today's guest. We are talking all about lights today, LEDs, light spectrums, a bunch of fun stuff. Noah Miller from Black Dog LEDs is on the line. How you doing, Noah?
Great. Thanks for having us on today, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. Black Dog LEDs, tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what your mission statement is.
Well, our mission statement is pretty simple. Our goal when the company was started was to provide the best grow light possible. Didn't even have to be LED. We do think that's the best technology. But our goal as growers and people that are very interested and are passionate about the cannabis industry, we just want to provide the best grow light possible for cannabis growers, period, regardless of what that is. And that might change over the years. But that's our simple goal, is to provide the best grow light possible.
I love it. What, just briefly kind of summarize the path that led you to settling on LED.
Yeah. So, you know, we all, not all of us, but most of us have been around for a while that have grown for quite some time, have grown under other lights. And if you've grown with those, you know, it's great. They're a lot better than having nothing to grow indoors. And thank God for HPS over the years. You know, we all grew with it, or a lot of us did. And, to be honest, it wasn't that we wanted LED. It's just that HPS has some inherent flaws to it. One, the spectrum is not that good. It was invented a long time ago, the first concepts of it, way further back than most people realize. But it wasn't designed, it had nothing to do with plants. It was simply trying to light large spaces efficiently, ballparks, banks, parking lots. So HPS is fine, but it's really not the proper solution. It does grow plants, but that's just kind of a byproduct almost. So when you think about a proper grow light, it really comes down to not just being energy efficient, but a proper light for growing the plants, giving them what they need, not what humans need for their eyeballs. So if you really look at it from that perspective, having the ability to tune a light and come up with a spectrum by mixing and matching different ratios of different colors, that's where the real magic happens, and where we can create not only a more efficient light, which is what everybody talks about, but actually fundamentally a better grow light from a science standpoint, and a really from the standpoint of strictly just growing plants and photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm. So just optimizing all of the production of all the things you want, and increasing yield, all that stuff while saving money. I assume the LEDs are by far currently the most cost-effective light. Is that true?
Yes, from an ROI standpoint, everybody knows they're more expensive, and we do not shy away from that as a company. But if you look at the lighting as a true investment and look at it as a business venture where you're going to get a return on that over time, your return on investment or ROI, definitely LEDs can beat out HPS, no problem, if you look at it over a period of time.
Right. It's that monthly bill with the, you know, 16 lighters and the big ballasts that can really get you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's some serious overhead. So I'm always for more options, right? It's never a bad thing, giving growers more options. So I like to talk to everybody in the industry. But let's talk a little bit about spectrums, if we could. You know, like you said, the HPS spectrum, that kind of red-yellow spectrum, better for flowering. I know some people use metal halides or ceramic metal halides. How do you alter the spectrum in an LED scenario? You say you include different colors, but what exactly does that mean? Can you kind of explain more on that process there?
Yeah, certainly. I'll dive in a little bit. A moment ago, you'd said, you know, hey, trying to give the plants exactly what they need. And that was a perfect way of putting it. And the other part, finish that statement, is not wasting energy where we don't need it. Mm-hmm. So as you pointed out, the reason HPS works well for human beings and even metal halide for lighting stadiums and that is because it's mostly going to be in the yellow and green section. Of course, there's a lot of red and more blue in the metal halide, but a lot of it is there. That's what we're going to perceive mostly as white. The unfortunate part is, or unfortunate for us, maybe if you look at it that way, is plants and humans are almost the exact opposite in terms of their lighting needs or what's optimized for them. Humans want the yellow and green in the middle. Plants want the outside, the red and blue. Most growers know that to some degree. So if that's the case, then a light that's really good for human eye response, where we're going to get the most benefit, meaning our eyes are most sensitive in that region, in the yellow and green region. If you give us blue and red, sure, you and I can see that, but it looks dimmer to our eyes. But if you take a light meter to it, a proper one, and test it, that red and blue might be just as bright as the yellow and green, but our eyes are more sensitive to the yellow and green, so it appears more bright to us. So if we need the opposite of plants, our goal is to deliver a light that isn't necessarily good for humans, like as a reading lamp, but we're not concerned with that. We're trying to grow plants. So to accomplish that, we look at the science that's out there, and there's a lot of great science. We don't have to go do that part. The good news is we know where the photosynthetic active radiation peaks are and where all that happens. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to take that information, which is all agreed upon at this point, and take this new technology of LED and bring it to bear on the problem. And how do we get the colors you want, or how do we get the ultimate spectrum we want, is we go through the trouble and the hassle of designing a light that integrates all the colors we want as they leave those LEDs. Yes, and one might be a blue, one might be a red, one might be an ultraviolet or a green or even a white. But when they leave the light a few inches away, the light's going to blend. We end up with a nice mixed spectrum the way we want. The challenge there is it is a lot harder from an engineering standpoint. It does cost more because the cheapest LEDs are the most mass-produced LEDs, which are, of course, white, because that's what's in our house and our eyes. Yeah. So that's where all the money goes. But if you want to take the time to build this, we've done, now we're about 9 years and have done it many times with different brands and taking the newest technology. In our light, we have 9 different distinct LED colors, very specific different products that we bring together to make our special phytogenesis spectrum. Most LED grow light companies are using what we call a basic white, the whites we were just talking about, which are very inexpensive to purchase, and they're mass produced, and they bring a lot of those to the table. And just like HPS, it's got enough light. If I take a big enough hammer, it will solve the problem.
Right.
So just like HPS, I will not say their light doesn't grow. We just don't feel it's optimized, like an HPS isn't, for growing. Now, one thing to point out, you mentioned, I would like to point out, we're not saying, hey, everyone in the world has to grow with LED. People call us and they feel like they have to apologize if they're using HPS or metal halide. And look, the first thing I'll say is, look, I agree with those and I'm not apologizing to you. There's no problem with that. We say there are two types of growers, those that are using LED and those that will at some point. We're all going to get there. So metal halide, just to be clear, there is a big difference. And if we're talking pure spectrum, we're kind of spectrum nuts here. As a spectrum guy, I will tell you, if I had to go back to grow without LED, I would definitely look at more like a ceramic metal halide. If you look at the spectrums, that's a much better growing spectrum than HPS. What growers didn't know is metal halide didn't perform as well as HPS, not because the spectrum wasn't better. It was strictly because HPS was much more efficient at producing light. So if you have an efficient metal halide, it's actually much better light to flower with even than an HPS.
And that's what I'm actually hearing too, talking to a lot of different people, ceramic metal halides really popping up on the market. Fascinating stuff. What do you know about plasma bulbs? I feel like plasma was this word that was hot for like a second, and then they kind of faded off and LED took over. What was the deal with that?
You know, it's an interesting technology, and like a lot of things in our industry, you know, everyone in other industries that they see an opportunity to bring a product or concept into cannabis, all they see are dollar signs, right? It's kind of like blockchain technology and Bitcoin. It's like if I tack blockchain on
slap any Bitcoin on it. Yeah, exactly.
Like suddenly it's worth twice as much.
Totally.
So if I have a lighting technology like plasma light that is a viable technology and I see, wow, this is fine for homes and ballparks or whatever, but if I can get into cannabis, I can make a lot more money. So it's not a terrible thing, but I've seen more than one facility fail trying to run plasma lighting. We never even got a chance to experiment. We tried to bring one in to test against an LED, and it broke. We had somebody else doing a test years ago with one of our lights against, I want to say, God, I don't want to throw them under the bus. I don't think they're random. It seems like Rocket Plasma. They got a light they were going to run ours against, and the plasma shut down in like 2 weeks, so we never got results. So I can't speak directly to the efficacy and how well they grew, because I never got a chance to grow with one, but they never caught on.
Yeah, they certainly came and went.
Yeah, it was a flash in the pan for sure. I agree with you.
Love it, man. Fascinating to talk to you about this sort of thing. Such deep insight. All right, before we jump back in, got to give a little love to our sponsor, Cultilux, everybody. Cultilux Horticulture Lighting, CULTILUX.com. Promo code GROWCAST10, GROWCAST10, gets you 10% off. And members to our amazing MyGrowPass.com membership program get 25% off all Cultilux lighting. Plus, they're giving away a 315-watt CMH fixture to one of our GrowPass members. Cultilux is the leading supplier in the industry dedicated to providing professional-grade lamps and fixtures. These ceramic metal halides are where it's at. As you're learning from Noah, it is a superior spectrum to almost anything else. Check out their high-efficiency LECs. They're prominent for their unique wattage, CRI, PAR value, lumen output, and overall lighting performance, providing the plants with the exact lighting they require to flourish. They dialed these things in great, guys. CMH is where it's at for flowering. You got to check it out. Cultilux.com, promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off, and MyGrowPass.com to get 25% off site-wide. Make the switch, guys. They're designed to be upgraded if you need to add more down the road. Cultilux is really doing some great stuff. If you've wanted to try CMH, now is the time. Cultilux.com, GROWCAST10, and when you're ready for the 25% savings, MyGrowPass.com. Thank you, everybody. Back to the show. But kind of jumping back around to building out LED spectrums, when you're creating those different colors, you're not just like slipping a little plastic lens over a light, right? Are you building out the diode so that it has a different structure? Like, is it made out of something different every time? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if you want to go deep dive down into the nanotechnology, I can get Kevin, our chief technology officer, on the phone. I definitely can explain how it works at a basic level, but it's fascinating, and I've read it, and it is, if anybody ever wants to do a deep dive into LED chip technology, the actual thing, the engine that's creating the light, because let's say there's really two parts to an LED. If everyone has seen just an LED sitting around, it's really two things. There's what we would call the casing or the housing of the LED, and then inside of it is this tiny little wafer. It's a silicon wafer that is going to be the actual light generating part. That's the chip. That is, let's say, the big dollars in R&D to create that. And then around it, the package is rather expensive and rather intensive. Those tend to be made, the package and the chip, by large, very large companies. There are only a few that are producing large scale LED productions. We know them. Wow. Osram, Philips, Cree, all the names you know. No LED grow light company today is making its own chips, and if they are, you shouldn't buy that light, because it is a huge endeavor. I think Osram, I was talking to one of the reps, they were opening a new plant in Germany or something, and he told me the amount of money to just the capital to open just one factory, it was like $100 million plus just to open one single factory. They've got multiple, so it's a large thing, and no LED grow light company is making their own. We're buying from the supply chain, and there are other lower end, again, those are the high ends, the Cree, the Philips, the Osram, and then there's binning inside of that. So to answer your question is, let's talk about the chip, the part that creates it. So basically, it's a little piece of silicon, and what they do is they're going to pump this through it, and as they pump energy through it, they make little microscopic, doesn't even do it. These are tiny, like atom-sized holes on that wafer, okay? And based on the size of the hole, so you're familiar with nanometers, wavelength, like red and blue are different nanometers. That's the wavelength, literally the height and width of those waves of light. So if I make a hole and the bigger wavelengths can't fit through there, it acts like a filter. And what you get is that color out. So based on the size of the holes, they emit different colors. So we don't change them. You can tweak the color slightly by running different current. But when you buy an LED, you're going to the LED company and saying, hey, I need to buy these LEDs from you. Here's the color I want. Here's the intensity I want, and you pay for both. So if you say, I want this very specific color, I don't want any real variation, and I want them to be efficient, you're going to pay a little more, and you can say, hey, I'm okay with a little bit of color variation and they don't need to be perfectly efficient because they're for somebody's home. Great. You can pay less for those. So there's a lot that goes into making the decisions of exactly what part you're buying, but you specify the color and you kind of specify the efficiency up to a point, and then you buy those and then you're going to put them into your fixture. That is where the LED grow light companies diverge. I simply say it's an ethos. It's what are you trying to do? How are you building the light? We all have access to the same LEDs, but how we build our lights, that is where the difference comes in.
Mm-hmm. Love it. BlackDogLED.com, everybody. Just as a reminder, I got a question for you, Noah, and I don't want to tread into any dangerous territory here. I have no idea what the answer to this is. When I see your stuff on Amazon and I go and order a Black Dog LED light from Amazon, am I going to get some funky, is that like when I order a Samsung Galaxy and I get a fake ass Galaxy? Should we only buy from you? How does that work?
You know, that's an interesting question the way you're asking. I've never had it asked that way. I will tell you, we've run into over the years, I guess you consider it a compliment when people rip you off. We have had products hit the market. Yeah, we've had ripoff lights. We've had people design lights that looked quite a bit like ours. Back in the day, there's a company called Mars Hydro. They came out with a light that looked quite similar to ours. So we moved away to a different design and a better design. But for years, we had people saying, oh, Black Dog and Mars are the same thing. We're like, no, they're not even close. First off, they're not even based in the U.S. They don't provide support, and they're not using the same LEDs. The light can look vaguely similar, but that does not mean anything. So to your point, the brand thing is it. I've only heard of a couple, and it was years ago, where people were trying to rip us off and literally sell a Black Dog product that wasn't. But we do encourage people, first off, if it's a commercial grow, you could buy our lights from one of our suppliers. But if you want to understand exactly how they work in terms of how to deploy them in large numbers, if you're spending $250,000 or $500,000 on lights, you should at least make sure you're deploying it properly. We like to help those customers. Home growers, though, we tell you, look, we are really big, and I don't know how you feel about this in our industry, Jordan, but I love hydro shops. They are integral for the growth of our industry, and I wish there were more of them out there providing good information to people that are interested in growing. So we love it when people buy our lights from their local hydro shop so that they can have that as a resource, because we can't be in every city around this country trying to help you. When you get bugs on a Saturday evening and you need to run into a hydro shop, trust me, you don't want Black Dog, you need your local hydro shop. So we love to sell direct, but we also like to support the local hydro shops because we think they're pretty important to the ecosystem of cannabis cultivation. So they don't have to buy from us, but definitely buy from a reputable source. It's a good question, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. And just to get a little peek into how things may or may not be changing, especially as legalization is more and more prevalent, do you find people are buying direct more? I know just in my growing career, buying things for your cannabis grow online used to be a big no-no, and now it's like no big deal. Do you find that people are ordering online more?
Come on, Jordan, you've been in this line. You probably used to park in a different parking lot than your yes. local hydro shop because you didn't want your lights, right? So you're dating yourself. That's the old way of thinking, right? So and I'm with you, you know, where you don't want to be at the head shop or the hydro shop. You don't want your license plate there. So
is that over? Are those days basically over?
I think it depends what state you're in, Jordan. Luckily, we're in Colorado here. I have no problem anywhere. You know, different states are different. But I'd say no, there are based on our flow and seeing where we sell our lights, because of course we sell them direct and we sell them through hydro shops. Definitely, we have a lot of brick and mortar that sell well, but we also have some very active customers that are only online, e-commerce type hydro shops, if you will. So I think the interesting point is that you and I remember when we didn't want to order online and didn't want our car in a hydro shop parking lot, but I think it's the new wave of people that see the legalization. They don't have that stigma, so they don't even think twice about ordering online. So I think it's kind of a changing of the guard, if you will.
Yeah, I think there was a tipping point that has occurred, and it's game on now, which is very exciting. Yeah. I wanted to talk about something you brought up in your bio sheet, though. You're talking about automation and trying to integrate Black Dog LED into the grow room and just integrate automation into the grow room through your brand. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I can talk about it a little bit. So we have a system we've been playing with for about 8 years. We're focused on our lights, but we're geeks and we like all technology. And you know, a couple of us come straight out of the IT world, and we believe IT has a lot of solutions. And luckily, my partner Kevin in this endeavor in Black Dog he designed some of the first web servers to run the internet. So he's as deep as it goes, and I worked in many software companies. So we believe in that stuff. And yes, We've been working on a product for about 8 years. It's actually been kind of worked on by Kevin for about 12 years. And we're looking to bring that out in the future. And it will be a control system that will tie into our lights, but other things as well. So yes, we believe in technology as a tool. I don't like hearing people say, oh, I'm an automated process and I don't need growers. That we don't believe in that as plant lovers. We do think you need human intervention still, but we do think there's a place for technology in the grow room, and we'd like to bring more of that technology to the grow room.
So are you talking about integrating with things like gardening activities like feeding and stuff like that? Or are you looking to get more into analytics with things like hygrometers and tracking and journaling, or both?
Easy question. Easy answer. Yes.
Very exciting, yes. Man. Well, definitely keep us up to date. Whenever you're dropping anything, we'd love to have you back.
Definitely.
What do you think the future is? Obviously LED, everyone's moving towards LED. Are there any other lighting solutions that have caught your eye?
That's another good question. I can't think of any that have. I mean, we do keep an eye on anything that comes out, and you hear of new things all the time. And the fascinating part is everything old is new again, in that ceramic metal halide, right, CMH, everyone's going crazy over it now. Do you know when that came out? My partner, who's a crazy indoor gardener, not just cannabis, but a lot of tropical plants, he was using CMH like 15 or 20 years ago, like some insane amount of time ago. It's been out. It's just, again, they saw an opportunity in cannabis. So there might be other technologies some of us haven't looked at that are just waiting and ripe for pulling into cannabis. But from a lighting standpoint, you know, we all are fairly familiar with the move from incandescent to CFL in our houses, and now the move to LED, because while CFL is much better than incandescent, LED is much better than CFL. As far as I know, there are no technologies that can compete with LED. However, LED is somewhat of a bit of a catch-all, right? So HID, high-intensity discharge lighting, encompasses HPS, metal halide, ceramic metal halide. They all fall under HID category. Mm-hmm. LED, while it sounds like one, there are very different technologies that are being deployed today to make efficient LEDs by the companies we were talking about earlier, the Osrams, the Philips, the Cree's. So LED is still a technology, and there are slightly different implementations of that that are fun for us to watch, because they are changing the efficiency dramatically. For us right now, are you familiar with Moore's Law, the growth of processors?
Right. Every X amount of years, they get twice as powerful and half as expensive and twice as small.
Exactly. So that is the theory. And so we're not quite there with LED, but we have that growth. Every year, our lights get better. We don't even talk most of the time about our light is better now than it was 6 months ago. Everyone says, well, it's still the Phytomax 2. Our Phytomax 2 today is better than it was when it came out, say, a year ago, right? So our Phytomax 2, every time, every month, every 6 months, LEDs are getting 1% better, 2% better. Maybe the blue gets 3% better and the red gets this. And we constantly absorb those. The difference between that, you and I know HPS, yeah, they got double-ended. That was a nice jump, but it's somewhat a dead-end technology. LED is getting better constantly. And yes, like Moore's Law, there will be a theoretical limit we'll hit at some point. We're far away from that. And as you said, we are enjoying major increases in efficiency, and we're also seeing potential for price drops. Right now, the price drops haven't hit yet because the technology is so new, and we're using the cutting edge. But that is on the horizon. And right now, what we're getting is a lot of increases in efficiency, which is what growers should care about, because that translates to pounds and ounces.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Looking at your products, you know, I was a big fan of the 600 watt ballasts, Euro style with the gas bulbs. But I guess one of the major benefits of doing that kind of Euro style grow is you're paying less of a bill. What do you recommend as far as wattage if someone's, for instance, in a flowering room? Is the electric bill going to be that much different between an 800 watt LED and a 1000 watt LED? Should we just spring for the 1000?
That's a great question. So wattage is wattage, right? So the power company, they're good at getting their money. They're going to get their money watt for watt. So if you run, you know, an 1000 watt, and you go down to an 80, that's 20% reduction. If you go from an 800 to 1000, it's a little more than a 20% increase, but that's just math. But let's say 1000 to 80. So it would cost 20% less to run that 800 than your 1000. Okay.
So if I'm running a gas bulb, but I thought the whole point is that LEDs come in at a lower cost per month. How does that work?
Got it. I misunderstood your question. So if I run, so let's take the good example, which is you and I both know everyone has 1,000 watt, right? Or 600. We can take you. Let's take 1,000 because that's kind of the most common.
Especially here in the States. Yeah, I was the exception with my 600s for sure.
No, I still know guys that said 600s. And to be honest, 600s were slightly more efficient from a purely electrical to photon exchange. They were definitely more efficient.
I had good success with it. I buy that. We've definitely had this discussion on air quite a few times, but it's good to hear someone else in my corner. But go on, please.
So let's use your 600 because we have five lights. They range from 200 to 1,000, 200-watt increments. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Mm-hmm. Fairly simple. You were running a 600. If you had plugged a kilowatt, a test meter, into your 600, you would have found that 600 is pulling around 630, 650 because your bulb was taking 600, but you know your nice hot ballast, that's your 30 to 50 watts of overhead. That's the inefficiency and the conversion, and that's happened. So depending on if you had a digital and the magnetic ballast, the efficiency is somewhere, let's say 25 to 50 watts of wasted energy. So you were running at around 625 to 650 watts. Our 630-watt light, our Phytomax 600, is 630 watts. And so it's right almost exactly a perfect match for what you were running. Now, if you were running a 600-watt HPS, a single-ended back in the day, and you took our Phytomax 2600, we would cost the exact same to run it. However, we would get you a lot more cannabis for that 600 watts. So the question, when somebody comes to us and says, hey, I want to save energy, we say, wait a minute now. Do you want to save energy or have more cannabis? Because they're not the same thing, but they can be handled the same. So if you're using 1,000 watt or 600 today, and you come to say, I just need to save energy. I have too much heat, or I can't pull enough power, whatever reason, I want to save energy. Yes, we can do that and keep your yields static. Keep you at the same yields and reduce your overhead. And I'll explain more where that savings is in a moment. But the other option is say, hey, you come to us and you're running a 600 and you say, hey, I want to run LED. We say, great. If you're okay with your wattage and you don't have any issues with that and cooling it and handling that load, you should run the 600. You're going to get more higher quality cannabis off the exact same wattage. You know, so you can't have your cake and eat it too, but you can do one or the other. But to be honest, most of the savings is really centered around the HVAC. So we are going to still pick up. So even if we're running the same wattage, so we say at the fixture, we're pulling the same wattage you were before, our cooling bill is going to still drop precipitously. What we found commercially.
No, that's a good point.
Was about 60% savings on a commercial facility on HVAC.
That's legit. This is a big footprint too. When I look at the 600, it's bigger than my fixtures were. 5 foot flowering footprint, 6.5 foot veg footprint. That's pretty sizable.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty impressive, and it's only getting better.
Awesome. So if you had to set up a grand new grow tomorrow, are you going for a 600 or 1,000 for a flowering room?
So again, our lights, the 200 to 1,000 are identical parts. So people come and say, what's your best light? They're all best lights. The difference is there's the right light for the right size space. So to your question, if I have a grow, I tell people, look, if you've got a big enough grow where you need to deploy larger lights, if you do the math, you can go to our site, take your calculator and figure out what you're paying per watt. You will see if you run those numbers that our cost per watt goes down as you go to bigger lights. So from a financial perspective, it makes much more sense to deploy the 1,000, fewer of the 1,000s than more of the 600. So if you know how many watts you need, yeah, it's cheaper basically, but that's strictly an economy of scale, a financial thing. From the other side, what we generally get is people are either you want the big light or you want the small. For sure, our biggest and smallest sell the best in terms of our best sellers. But if you have a certain size space, certain people the 600. We often deploy the 400 and 600 commercially for veg spaces because we don't need the 1,000 in a veg space the way they're set up. So we use them all, but the only advantage is the bigger the light, the cheaper it is per watt.
Awesome. I am following. Yeah, the 1,000 has a much bigger footprint too. Good footprint on that one. Interesting stuff, man. Very, very interesting. Anything you want to add here? Anything coming up at Black Dog LED you want to let my listeners know about? What's the future look like?
More and more education. The one thing I'd say that people are getting to know us for is everybody here, talk to me, one of the owners, talk to Kevin, one of the owners, talk to any of our people that answer the phone and provide sales support and all that. We all grow. We are passionate about this and we love what we do. We love the industry. And so not only do we sell our lights, but we're really big on trying to further the cause. And we do a lot of education. So we're really big on grow along videos and stuff. You're doing a great service by providing this information as a whole. We focus in on one thing, and that's growing, and we do videos. So we're really big. Even if you don't use our lights, it's not pay to play. You can jump in and watch our videos on YouTube or on our site. And that's really where we just want everyone that wants to grow at home to be able to grow at home, whether you're using our lights or not. And, you know, growing is not easy. So we want them to have success and not have crop failure after crop failure. So we're really big on education, and we invite everyone to just go dive in. We have we're over 100 educational videos now covering everything from defoliation, topping, nutrient mixing, running plants all the way through for 10-week cycles. That's what we really get behind. And we're going to continue to push on the educational front for sure.
BlackDogLED.com, and then the gallery section. They got lots of great videos. They got a YouTube channel. Great stuff, man. Fantastic stuff. Let's see here. Just making sure I covered everything. You were very, very knowledgeable. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, man. Super informative.
No, thank you very much. I guess the one last thing I'd say is, if you're a beginner grower, I'm going to give one other tip here, is go check out our complete kits on our site. Even if you don't want to buy one, I don't care. Go steal ideas. What we've done for beginner growers, because we're really focused, you know, the commercial growers, they know what they're doing. We provide a lot of very specific design help for them. But the beginner growers that want to get to cannabis again, we've put together kits that show everything you need. Yes, our lights are important, but they're not all you need to grow effectively and successfully. So we put together kits for anyone out there that really wants to get an idea. Again, if you don't buy it, we don't care. Go to our site, look at the kit. It gives you a very good idea of everything you need, literally from seed all the way through curing to when you can smoke it. So that's another thing we'd like to provide out there, just so people can learn and grow successfully at home. Again, we'd like to see a garden in everybody's house in the U.S.
Yeah, interesting here. Build your own grow kit under products. You guys can check that out. Got a 5x8 tent, 3x6 tent. Interesting stuff, man. I love these kits. Anything to simplify people's startup is great. Exactly. Best of luck to you, man. You seem like a really knowledgeable guy. You seem like you're focused on creating value and helping others. That's what I love to see in any space, especially the cannabis space. So best of luck to you, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Jordan. I really appreciate you having us on today.
Everybody find Black Dog LED on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, all over the place. Follow this show at Growcast on Instagram. Follow me at Jordan River IG on Instagram. Go to mygrowpass.com. Check out our membership program. Love what we're doing up there. Sign up. Get yourself all sorts of discounts on grow products, extra episodes, lots of fun stuff. One more time, Noah. Thank you so much, man. I really do appreciate you taking the time to drop some knowledge here.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right, everybody listening. Thank you so much. Be safe and grow smarter.